the Quran revealed, and our communities, many times people say what? They'd say it was revealed in Shah Ramadan. Yes, the Quran to the heart of Rasulullah Shah Ramadan. But the Quran in step-by-step process, 27th Rajab. Inzal means the whole Quran direct to the heart. Tanzil means what? Tanzil means step-by-step process. If you read in Surah 17, verse 106, وَقُرْآنًا فَرَقْنَاهُ لِتَقْرَاهُ عَلَى النَّاسِ عَلَى مُكْثٍ وَنَزَّلْنَاهُ تَنْزِيلًا. What does the Quran say? A Quran which we gave to you to recite to the people. Listen to the beautiful wording. It's amazing. If ever you want to understand how to build a community through the Quran told you how it built a community through itself. We gave you the Quran. So what? So you recite it to the people in a step-by-step process so they gradually understand it. If I came as a prophet and I gave you a book and I'm like, hey, this is your guidance, go and get guided. Will you be affected or no? You'll be like, what? 6,500 verses you've just given to me. I might not even read all of these in a lifetime, let alone be guided. You never guided the people, or you never guide a business or a bank or a law firm. You never guide them by just throwing a manual on them. It never works. What you say is, listen, there's an induction course employees have to attend. It could be 6 months, it could be a year. It's a gradual step-by-step process. Then by the end, you would have been able to understand. Tanzil versus Inzal is what? Tanzil talks of this idea of what? A gradual revelation. The question arises, why gradually reveal the Quran? What are the benefits? Please understand this key area. Because I think this key area will affect us in our lives and when we want to build communities. The first reason that the Quran went through Tanzil, a gradual step-by-step over 23-year process, was so that it would be easy to memorize. If I now throw at you a 6,500 page document, how long will it take you to memorize? A day? A year? Because I need these companions to preserve the Quran, correct? I need them to also make sure they look after the Quran. The first reason Allah reveals the Quran over a 23-year period from the 27th of Rajab until the day Rasulullah dies, the first reason it's in stages, so it's easy to memorize. Abdullah bin Mas'ud would say, we would memorize 5 to 10 verses a day. If now I gave you, for example, sometimes, you know the surahs when they're revealed, sometimes Allah didn't reveal the whole surah in one go. If I now, do you think Rasulullah would come in one go and say to you, here's Surah Al-Baqarah everyone, get guided by it. I'll be like, Ya Rasulullah, it takes me a year to read this, you want me to get guided by it? You think Surah Al-Baqarah came down in one go, or Surah Al-Ma'idah came down in one go? No! They came down in gradual step by step. Why? Because he wants first the companions for it to be easy for them to memorize. That's the first reason. The second reason it came in a step by step process was what? So that when the Jews or the disbelievers ask Muhammad a question, they can see that the question comes directly from the heavens and not just from his own mouth. What do I mean? If I give the Jewish community a whole book, when they ask me a question, where do I answer that question? If, however, I tell them I'll wait for the wahi to come down, correct? When I wait for the wahi to come down, then when they ask me a question, I'm able to answer. Let me give you an example. Surah Al-Kahf, why was it revealed? Chapter 18 of the Quran. Surah Al-Kahf was revealed because the Jewish community were asked by the Arabs. They were told, what do you think we could test Muhammad with? Give us a question which we could test Muhammad with. So what happened was that the Arabs looked at them, the Jews said, ask Muhammad, what's the story of the 7 sleepers of the cave? And what's the story of Dhulqarnain? Yes. And what's the meaning of the soul or the spirit? If I just had one big Quran, when the Jewish community asked me this question, I'm not going to be able to answer them. I've got this one big Quran in front of me. However, when I do it step by step, whenever anyone asks the question, I'll say, I'll wait for my Lord to reveal. When He reveals to me the answer, then you'll know whether I'm a prophet of God or not. When they asked Him, who are the 7 sleepers of the cave? He revealed the whole of Surah Al-Kahf. When they asked Him, what's the soul? He said, the soul's knowledge is with my Lord, and we know little of it. When they asked Him about Dhulqarnain, He gave the whole story of Dhulqarnain and his journeys towards the east and the west, correct? Therefore, the second reason the Qur'an came in stages is because it was to counter the questions of the opposition. When they'd ask a question, there'd be a verse revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third reason the Qur'an came in stages was what? You don't change a community in one day with 6,000 verses. You need to change a community slowly with one verse, then another verse, then another verse. Gradual reform is the basis of gradual revelation. These Arabs, let me give you an example. These Arabs were drinking alcohol every day, correct or no? When they were drinking alcohol, do I just come straight away with one verse and I'm like, alcohol is haram, that's it? Or do I step by step reform their drinking? When you look at the verses of alcohol, is there a single verse that was revealed which said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alcohol is haram? If I'm an Arab at the time, I'm like, you're not really doing much to help me gradually reform myself. Even you go to alcohol rehabilitation, they don't straight away say to you, alcohol's bad, now get out. No, they say to you, wait 1 week, stay away from alcohol, stay sober, talk to us about your alcohol addiction, correct or no? Rasulullah knew there were certain social ills in Arabia. You couldn't reform by throwing a 6,500 page document onto them. What you do is you live with them, you live their feelings, you live their times, and you gradually, step by step, reform them. The first verse of alcohol, Surah 4, verse 43. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la taqrabu salata wa antum sukara. O you who believe, do not approach salah while you're drunk. It's a nice beginning, isn't it? If I straight away said to them, all of you are burning in hell because you're drinking alcohol, no one would join this religion, believe me. Correct or no? You know, sometimes there are certain speakers, hell, 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 hell. The whole majlis is hell. You're like, you know, I don't want to stay in this religion, let alone the one who wants to join this religion. When I start, Allah began a process with the Quran over 23 years. Why? I'm not going to change that person who's been drinking every day in one day. No. Gradually, he's going to wait for the wahi. He's going to wait. He's going to wait. He's going to wait. He's going to see what's his Lord saying. Surah 4, verse 43. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la taqrabu salata wa antum sukara. O you who believe, don't approach salah while you're drunk. So the companion thinks, you know what? I used to drink a lot, but my Lord is a fair Lord. He didn't straight away say to me, don't drink. He said, don't drink while you're intoxicated. So I'm now going to go towards salah. I won't drink before salah. Rather, I'll drink at another time. You know, there are some people who took this verse out of context. There are certain countries in the world, I'm sure you know them, I don't need to mention. At Maghrib of Isha, they don't drink, mashallah. Yes, they don't drink. And even just before Fajr, they don't drink, to their credit. And at Dhuhr Asr, they stay away from the drink. Why? Then why say, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la taqrabu salata wa antum sukara. Don't approach salah and you are drunk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't approach salah while you're intoxicated. We'll never pray to Allah intoxicated. But the other 17 hours of the day, we don't mind the odd drink. That person's like the one who said what? That person is like those who said, waylun lil musalleen. They would come and say what? That hell is for those who pray. So I'm not going to pray because I want to go to Jannah. Correct? Waylun, hell, is for those who pray. Yes, waylun lil musalleen. Alladhina hum an salatihim sahun. Those who neglect their salah. You found that this person what? This person listens to the Quran. He thinks to himself, you know what? First, I stay away from salah. What if I'm drunk? But if I'm not drunk, I can go and pray. So I'm going to approach salah not intoxicated. Then he waits for the next time the Quran discusses alcohol. Surah 2, verse 2, 1, 9. Yas'alunaka anil khamri wal maysri qul fihima ithmun kabir wa manafi'un nas wa ithmuhuma akbar min naf'ihima. They ask you concerning alcohol. Yes? Say what? Say that it has disadvantages and it has advantages, but that its disadvantages outweigh its advantages. It's a lovely verse. It never once says haram. Why? Because when you tell a human haram, he still goes and does something. But when you rationally explain to a human, the human thinks to himself. They ask you concerning alcohol, Muhammad. And you know what's beautiful? Imagine you're asking a prophet who will receive an email from Allah. How confident then are you in this man? If he just throws a manual at you, then you're like, how do I know he speaks to his Lord? But when you ask him, can we ask you about alcohol? When he tells you, wait, when the wahi comes, I'll give you the answer, correct? When the wahi comes back, he's like, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسَرِ. They ask you about alcohol and the games of chance. Say there are advantages and there are disadvantages. Because today someone will come to me and say, Ammar, I promise alcohol has advantages. I'm like, yeah. They say, yes, our heart with whiskey, a heart becomes better, correct? You look at him and you say, okay, my brother, no problem. Your heart becomes better with whiskey. But do you agree with me that the alcohol in society has more disadvantages than advantages? Do you agree with me that children have been sexually abused because of alcoholics? Do you agree with me women have been hit because of husbands who are alcoholics? Do you agree with me that children have been hit by cars in the road because of drink driving? Person will put his hand up and say, yes, I agree with you. The Quran said what? The second thing we'll say to those who drink alcohol is that we'll say its advantages, what, are not as great as its disadvantages. Number three, the third verse. Look at this beautiful gradual revelation. Don't approach salah while you're drunk. Number two, advantages, disadvantages. Number three, what? إِنَّ الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسُرُ وَالْأَنصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Know that alcohol and gambling and the casting of lots are from the impurities of Satan. So stay away from them and you will be successful. Beautiful. At the beginning, stay away from salah while you're drunk, correct? Then, disadvantages outweigh advantages. Then, unanimously, all you companions have now been guided. You've listened to our verses gradually guide you. Now make sure that you do what? Now make sure that you stay away from alcohol completely, because we want to confirm to you it is one of the impurities of shaitan. Don't ever think that drinking alcohol in moderation, because someone comes and says, red wine, white wine, you know these things, I don't even know what these things taste like to tell you the truth, but red wine and white wine, they say to you only a sip a day, a glass a day and so on. No, the Quran confirmed, just in case some of you companions are thinking, glass a day, two glasses a day, it's from the actions of shaitan, leave it, you'll be successful. That gradual revelation was useful, why? If everything is revealed in one book and the Quran is thrown, no one will listen. But when people feel Allah chats to them and speaks to them every day, Surah 4, Surah 2, Surah 5, then you'd find more people coming towards what? Coming towards the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, the third reason the Quran came gradually over 23 years is to culture the Arabs. An Arab who was drinking non-stop. You think that I'm going to throw a manual at him? No. I want him to move with me, step by step. Another example, slavery. Can I just come out with a verse in the Quran? Slavery is haram. No, I can't. Why? For the sake of the master and the case of the slave. The sake of the master, that master has had slaves working in his house for years. That slave doesn't know about the real world. Do I straight away say, slavery, haram? No, gradually I reveal verses. How do I reveal verses slavery? First, I would reveal a verse. Taqwa is not turning your faces to the right or the left or the east and the west. But taqwa is doing what? Taqwa is making sure that you believe in Allah and His Prophet and that you free a slave for the sake of Allah. Yes? At the beginning. Then after that, when Shahar Ramadan comes, the kafara for missing a fast. What is one of the kafaras for missing a fast? Freeing a slave, correct? Then after that, make a contract known as the mukataba contract with your slave. Make a contract with them that after a 6 or 7 year period, as 60 Imam says, that they can free themselves from being in your service. Many times people say, why didn't the Quran just reveal a verse that, you know what, slavery is haram? Because the Quran wanted to culture the Arab society. It didn't just want to straight away say haram, 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 haram. Nobody agrees when you just say haram. The Quran wanted to show your Lord wants to step by step reform the society you're within. Therefore, the first reason, easy memorization. The second reason, to answer the non-Muslims when they ask me through a verse. The third reason, step by step, gradual reform of Meccan and Medinian society. The fourth reason, so that you never forget the great personalities who that verse is revealed about. Please bear with me on this important point. If I now told you a verse, I gave you a Quran, I just threw it at you, you're an Arab, and I threw the Quran at you, and you open it, Yes? And you open it and you're like, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Or for example, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. Yes? يُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. If I was an Arab living in Mecca at the time and you threw the Quran in my face, or you sent it by DHL through post, it came to me, yes? I was living in Taif and this camel brought it to me. I open it and it says what? وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا أَسِيرًا. They give food out of their love to the orphan and to the captive and to the needy. Will that verse really resonate with me after Rasulullah dies? If I don't know who it's about? No. It's just a general statement, isn't it? That they give food out of their love to the prisoner and the orphan and the captive. How about if the incident itself, you were present and you remember who it was revealed about? If I was in Medina at the time, and Rasulullah tells me, do you know what Ali and Fatima just did? Will it have more of an effect on me or just throwing an eye on my face? Because the fourth reason gradual revelation was vital was for the Arab in Mecca or Medina to say, I remember every time Allah praised so and so in that ayah, I was there. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. Could easily have been given before. You just throw it in an Arab. He reads it. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. How about if I was at home that day and Rasulullah told me, do you know what Ali and Fatima did today? Their children Hassan and Hussein were ill. So I looked at Ali and Fatima and I said to them, why don't you fast? Make a niyyah that if Hassan and Hussein become well, you'll fast for 3 days. Yes? And nidr. You know we have in our communities mannat, correct? What's a mannat? A mannat is a nidr. A nidr where you say, Ya Allah, if this happens, then I'm going to do this. They said, Ya Allah, if Hassan and Hussein become well, we'll fast for 3 days in a row. When they fasted on the first day, they're about to break their fast. A person knocks at the door of mercy, the door of grace, the door of Al Muhammad, correct? He knocks at their door. She opens the door. Who is it? I am someone who is what? A miskeen. Oh, family of Rasulullah, give me something. And they give him. And they end up that night not eating any food. Yes? They end up that night not eating. On the second day, who comes? A yatim. Yes? When a yatim comes, says, oh, family of Rasulullah, I'm an orphan. I beg you, give me something. They give him straight away. On the third night, oh, family of Rasulullah, I'm a prisoner. I beg you, give me something. They give him straight away. When I'm in Arabia at the time, if the Quran was just thrown at me at the beginning of the message, I will never appreciate who Allah loves on this earth, correct? When I'm alive at the time, and I hear Rasulullah say, that do you know what Allah has just done? He's just revealed to me through the wahi. He loves Fatima and Ali so much that on 3 successive nights, no one in Medina could do what they've done. So Allah reveals the verse, what? وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. Not only does he praise them, he also quotes what they say. This is a lovely line. Allah didn't just praise Muhammad and Al Muhammad when they gave their food away. He decides to put the words of Muhammad and Al Muhammad as an ayah of the Quran. The Quran's his words, isn't it? Is it not? So who said, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ? Because Muhammad and Al Muhammad are so vital to the Quran that even when they talk, I want their words to be in that Quran. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. When we give this food away, what? You think we need people to praise us? We give this food away because we want Allah's blessings, Allah to be pleased. Why is this important? Because when I read this ayah at the time as a Muslim, when I live after Rasulullah dies, when Muhammad and when Ali and Fatima are being attacked, I am a Salman who says, I was there when this verse was revealed. I'm an Abu Dar. I say I was there when this verse was revealed. I'm a Miqdad. I say I was there when this verse was revealed. I didn't just have a book thrown at me. No. The fourth reason is what? So that none of you forget those who Allah wanted to bestow His favors upon. That's why even likewise, if you look at the verse, Surah 5 verse 55. If Surah 5 verse 55 was just part of the Quran, nobody was present in Mecca or Medina. If it was a normal verse, what does it say? إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. Correct? If I just read this verse, the Quran's thrown at me, I'll be like, Allah is your guardian and His messenger and those who believe, those who give away zakat while they're in ruku'. No, so what? If however I heard Rasulullah tell me today in my mosque in Medina, Ali ibn Abi Talib shone above all of you. In my mosque in Medina, a poor man came to pray in that mosque. And he raised his cries, Ya Allah, I've asked people for something. I am poor, I have nothing. Allah decided to answer his dua through the ruku' of Ali ibn Abi Talib. That Allah at that moment inspired through ilham. Yes, we said yesterday, Musa's mother, ilham. Allah inspired Amir al-Mu'mineen to know that he should point out his finger in ruku'. So that poor man's dua is answered through the wasila of Ali ibn Abi Talib. If I was there at the time, do you know what difference such a gradual revelation makes? It means that after Rasulullah dies, I'll remember that ring of Ali ibn Abi Talib, correct? Do you know those companions who remained loyal to Amir al-Mu'mineen? Those companions, why did they remain loyal to him? Because they remembered ayahs after ayahs being revealed in the honor of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Allah knew, if I throw 6,500 verses on them, they'll never know Muhammad and Al Muhammad's position in this world. Whereas, if they are present step by step, ayah after ayah, then they'll remember how this religion flourished through Muhammad and Al Muhammad. And that's why, without a doubt, the holy month of Ramadan is a month in which the Quran was revealed. It's an honor that Quran came into the heart of Rasulullah. All of us remember that month, and we remember it full of joy, except when we come to the 19th of Ramadan, correct? Because when we come to the 19th of Ramadan, what comes into our mind but the beautiful face of Amir al-Mu'mineen? There is no one who comes to the night of Qadr, but his heart is in the holy land of Najaf. Those of you who've been to Najaf, do you picture that dharih in front of you right now? Do you picture that beautiful dharih of Amir al-Mu'mineen? And for Sayyida Zainab and Unkulthum, how difficult was it when they saw their father's head in the state it was in? Do you know there's one narration that hurts me the most? Every Laylatul Qadr on the 21st night when I recite this, it hurts me very much. You know when he got struck by Ibn Mulk? He stood up, yes? The blood had surrounded his face. He stood up, he began to walk, but he was limping while he's walking, correct? He was limping, he couldn't walk properly because the pain was too much. When he left the mosque, he turned around to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. He said to him, Abba Abdullah, Imam al-Hassan, I want you to help me stand up straight. Why, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen? He said, because I see Zainab at the door. I don't want her to know that I've been struck. If I walk limping, she'll know something's happened. Allow me to walk straight. Then on the night that he was dying, Zainab cries next to him and Umm Kulthum next to her. So he looks towards them. And then he says to Imam al-Hassan, take them away from me. Imam al-Hassan says to him, why, when he comes back in? He says, I can't bear to see Zainab and Kulthum in pain. I say to him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, if you couldn't bear to see Zainab and Kulthum in such pain, I wish you had seen Kufa and Sham when they were being whipped by Shimr bin Dhul-Jawshan. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise us with Muhammad and Al Muhammad. We pray to Allah to raise us with the Quran. Ya Allah, allow us to benefit from the wisdom and the blessings and the grace and the mercy of the Holy Quran. Raise us with the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise us with the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman. Allow us to be amongst those who follow his message in this world and the hereafter. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the Surah al-Fatiha, but before it, the loudest of your salawat.